Oh dear.
What I really want to know is just.
I'm not good at questions. I want to tell you this.
Okay, that's I good because I'm not a good interviewer with questions.
And when I see people who are, allow themselves to be interviewed on TV or radio, it's like they sold their soul. Well, that fellow that's around now, he could ask them anything. And I used to think, why don't they sometimes say,
I won't answer that. That's not your business. No, that's.
I did see one person answer him. Well, what was his name? He's not anymore. I liked him too because he brought some interesting people on. But there was a doctor who had a transsexual surgery, male to female, and she said television. Well, you want to know how long I'm here and how I came and
That's
so on?
right.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I graduated from nursing school in 1937, and I was interested in public health. One of my classmates was from Idaho, and she used to tell me great stories about Chief Joseph and about the West and about.
Where were you? Were you in East then?
Yeah, Connecticut, and about pack trains, pack trips, and horses. Oh, and I used to dream about all that. Anyway, she wanted to do pioneer work in the West as a public health nurse. Well, I guess there was 1937 was still the Depression because there wasn't much money for public health or anything else around. So she never did get a job pioneering work in the West. But I figured I better go to work. So I took a job in New York. It's such a funny the name of the association was the Association for Improving Conditions of the Poor, which was established in the late 1900s, and which was worked carefully with community service, which was another voluntary social service agency which was backed by very wealthy people. If you remember, that was before Social Security and all the times have changed. When a government as a public servant also recognized that we recognized that they had responsibility for health and social conditions. Even though we're attempting to give that up, we never can. So she went, I don't know where, I forget where she worked now. And I didn't like the job because I wasn't really doing nursing. I would make appointments, dental appointments or such for the people. And I worked in Hell's Kitchen in New York. That was interesting. But I had a chance to get a government stipend to go back to school to get more experience in public health, and I did that. And I went to Columbia for a while and then worked with Henry Street Settlement. And then I got assigned from my rural public health to Westchester County, and then the government ran out of money, but they kept me on, so I stayed there and worked, which was very interesting.
Where's Westchester County?
It's the county just outside New York City, to the north, and extends for 40 miles one way and 30 miles another. My figures aren't accurate, but it's a pretty big county. Probably one of the wealthiest in the country and one of the poorest. Well, poverty is there. So that was very interesting. Then I was transferred to a small, well, I guess call it a village in Westchester. That's what they call their little towns, which was close to Scarsdale, which is a very rich
man in the gray flannel.
And that was interesting too, but it was not what I was interested in doing particularly. So my friend had, about that time, was trying to get a pioneering job in the West or North. And she ended up at Wrangell, Alaska. So I thought about coming to Alaska. I didn't know quite how to get here. I don't know why I didn't ask her. I don't remember that detail. Because then the health services for the natives were under the Department of the Interior. And there wasn't much really public health. It was acute medical services. The nurse was there and needed. The school teachers did a lot of the immediate health service, cuts and bruises, and you needed 2 years experience. Many things. I wanted to go in the Grenfell expedition in Newfoundland, but that you need 2 years experience. Well, I didn't have it then when I first started looking, but then I had it. So my friend said, there's an opening up here, would you like to come to Alaska? It was 1940. I thought about it. A very difficult decision to make, but I decided to go. So I did. And I was, they call it an itinerant nurse, but it wasn't itinerant in the sense that later had itinerant nurses who went from one village to another doing here. It was a fill-in for vacant places. And so I was supposed to go to Skagway, but when I landed in Juneau to get a little orientation, they transferred me here because there was supposed to be a measles epidemic. And I flew the next morning to Fairbanks and found my office in the old main school. And I lived at the Nauta Hotel for the summer while I was working, because they had a nurse who didn't have any public health experience. She was hired through the Red Cross originally, and she was going out to get some education that summer, and I was filling in for her. So that was a very rich summer, because the measles epidemic was not really an epidemic that was a hazard to the community at that time, as I remember. So my work was just a home visiting mothers who had new babies and having immunization clinics, and that was the summer that a number of women organizations chipped in $25 each until they had about $300 in a month they could pay for, or some, whatever it was, for a little office in what was the Lavery Building, which is now the I don't know what's there now. So I had then a little office there besides the school office. Or maybe that was later, I think. That was later, yeah. Not in 1940. Because after the summer was over, I went to Cordova for about 6 weeks and filled in there. And then the nurse at Palma was being transferred to Anchorage, so I went to Palma till the nurse who'd been in Anchorage was going to come to Palma, and then I went to Anchorage for a while. And it was really a very rich experience because they were... tuberculosis was a real epidemic, and we were doing so little about it, x-raying people, going to villages and x-raying, finding people early TB to moderately advanced to far advanced, and in which case, because they were spreading the disease among the community and in their own families, so the cases were increasing. Well, it was a pretty sad time, and I really don't want to go into the sad times. Okay. And there was no hospital, no treatment, but there was no isolation either. You could spend, you know, many hours talking about those times. And there, the communities that I was in were made up of, they were city communities, the main part, except for Palma. But they were all fairly young people, pretty healthy people, and pretty healthy kids, except for a case of measles occasionally, a few cases, or a whooping cough. We did have immunization against that at that time. So, anyway, to get on with my time. 1940, we went to
live in... you met your husband here?
Yeah, Manly Hot Springs. Well, actually it was Baker Creek. And he was trapping, and we were living off in the woods. But the war declared December, you remember? So we didn't think we could stay in the woods when the war was on, so we came into town. And I worked the there was a territorial government at that time, mm-hmm. and they did have a Department of Health. And I'm trying to think, I don't remember how long they had an established Department of Health. It was limited in its programs. Mainly there was the TB director and x-ray technicians who traveled around. And, just beginning of development of public health nurses in the state, in the territory, because the Department of Interior ran the hospitals, such hospitals they were around the state, around the territory, mm-hmm. and their nurses did some of the early public health work, I guess you'd say. But we did have a few village nurses as time went on. Jean Dementi was much later than that, but she would know more about that when the nurses were stationed either in an urban area and flew out to the villages, because flying had been developing in 1940, but it wasn't as developed as it mm-hmm. was as 1950 or 60.
Oh, no, 60, the war medicine, yeah. Yeah. Trying to stick to that.
Yeah.
So you were here in Fairbanks and mostly during that time?
Yes. Got the ears mixed up. Oh, then my husband went in the army, and then when he got out at the end of the war, shortly thereafter, we went to Lake Minchuma, where it was his dream of trapping there. So we lived there for 4 years.
Okay, so probably get the same
types of
things.
Beg your pardon?
Avery's, Willis and Dorothy Avery and their kids down Minchuma, not around that. No, don't worry.
Black Dorothy Avery? Black Dorothy Avery?
No, wait.
Oh, there's an Avery family.
It was in Anchorage, and years ago he worked for FAA. But they...
Yeah, it was a FAA station, but they...
Just,
that must have been there after
yeah.
I left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know the name. And then I came back to town when my boy was ready to school in the early 50s. And in 56, I went back to work and at the, I guess we call it Fairbanks Health Center then, which is in the old library mm-hmm. building. And then, no, that must, it was, yeah, just about that time. In 56, mm-hmm. they moved to their nice new building, and they're still in that building.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting times. I'm very grateful for having worked in those times, because they were times of change.
Mm-hmm.
That's in 1956, the Surgeon General Perrin made a study of, and his committee made a study of Alaskan health problems. And by that time, we had at least had chemotherapy for tuberculosis, so the main public health problem were ear, nose, and throat conditions, mainly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Awful ear conditions and
yeah.
mastoid problems and deafness. And
how did you feel being here then? I mean, was it, you felt the excitement, or did you feel part of, as your friend who wanted to
do pioneer work in the West, yeah.
Did you feel that way?
Well, it was, I don't know whether it was, I don't know what I really meant by pioneer work in the West. I guess, I don't know what I saw myself going around on horseback. I don't think quite that, but that, I guess what I think is there was pioneering work, but something you could do something about, because I'd worked in Harlem. And I remember sitting in railroad station one time, I think it was when I was considering coming up here, and I don't remember why I was in that railroad station, thinking, do I want to go? Why am I here? You know, working in Harlem with the blacks. There's no hope till we do something about the economic conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no
mm-hmm.
place to live and no hope. Mm-hmm. They weren't turned to drink. It was just that they were, and now that I look back, compared to the health problems up here, the health problems were not great.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, nothing, but it was social conditions that I was abhorred at. Mm-hmm.
Do you think social conditions are much better now, generally?
Well, the material social conditions, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the spiritual... The There aren't any social conditions which don't have to do with people, and people have to do with spirit, and the spiritual aspects are much lower than whatever lower means. They're more materialistic. They're well, thinking about this, there are so many things which are better, and so many things which are worse, and that's a How do you weigh that? How do you balance that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the people I did in the series, Howard Luke, mentioned that he ran dogs for your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you might one time have many dogs. Did you think your husband was interested in dogs, or that was just part of the Alaskan?
Oh, we had, when you were trapped, then you had dogs.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. That's right. Of course, yeah.
And when he went in the army, his dogs went with him.
Mm-hmm.
They had ID kit. And he went out to illusions to reconnaissance, and the dogs went with him.
Uh-huh.
So that was, that was interesting, scary. I mean, scary not for the Japs, but scared of the airplanes that took people out to the illusions in those days. Yeah.
Something I really always liked you. I said I didn't ask any questions, but one thing I really always curious about is, what were great influences on you in times of your life? I mean, I think that we're all made up, not of what we...
Oh, I agree on that. Very important, too.
Yeah, and I'd like to know what those were. I mean, why are you interested in public health? Why socially do these concerns concern you?
Well, I don't even know that I knew what public health was before I came and became a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I went to college first, and I don't know that I thought of those things. Except, if you lived in the 30s and you were, I don't know what age, everybody was influenced one way or another. No, whatever age you were at, if you lived in a young child, influenced by what was going on in their family. Since I was one of the next to the youngest in my family, financially we weren't destitute. Many people, we didn't have that much to lose, and we didn't lose what we had. So I could go to college, even though it was a free college in the city of New York. And what were the influences? Well, I guess the essential influence is your home, how you see your parents.
Mm-hmm. Which obviously is positive. Mm-hmm.
My parents were Irish immigrants, so that they were all for the education of their children, and,
mm-hmm.
and the family was the. But they had great respect for other people, for the blacks who lived in the next block. They didn't do anything about them, but they respected them over there.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And we had number of Jewish friends. My mother admired the Jews very much because they had the same standards as herself of education their friend and the family.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, she was one of the believers, or may believers, that the Irish were one of the lost tribes of Israel. I've heard that since, but that used to amuse me. And of course, she came from the land of saints and scholars, and I knew that, so even though I thought it'd be more fun to be French. So that, and the idea of education and respect for the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers were always right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if something happened with you, between you and the teacher, it was your fault, not the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very different.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the teachers you met, as far as then further in college, some of the teachers, but in nursing school, some of medical men were, outstanding in their idealism, and they're looking to the immediate needs of communities and planning for future
mm-hmm.
medical
mm-hmm.
services and group medicine, and not that time was not acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Still isn't. I mean,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So you think of a few particular teachers that
mm-hmm.
gave you a spiritual uplift or an intellectual uplift. And you only need maybe only one of those, just so there's somebody that gives you that feeling that, and you're ready for it.
And you're ready for time, mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I think the ground has to be fertile for the seed to take. What did you think? Do you think that living in Alaska brought out more of the best or the finest or the worst or whatever in people than say living in other parts of the country?
Because well, I remember when I first came here, I would ask people, I was usually dealing with families, I would ask mm-hmm. the mothers, let's see, how they happened to come.
Yes.
And they said, one woman said, oh, we could look forward to, you know, good living, and there was moose in every backyard. Mm-hmm. She'd read, I said, where did you hear that? She said she read Uncle Sam's Attic, and later I said I was bemused about that. But I think you had a quality of people who came, who was seeking, they saw there was no hope for the economic change outside, and up here that they could come and hope to get a job or mm-hmm. do something, either with land, do something. But they were people who were not looking for a handout.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not belittling handouts, but they were the people who were willing to work and save, and that's the old, you know, we now hear that the work ethic, and it almost seems as if the work ethic is not a good thing to have, that, you know, only stupid people have the work ethic. That's the way it's spoken of, isn't it,
oh,
sometimes?
Yes, I hope not. I mean,
don't you hear that sometimes? I mean, it says that work ethic, you know, Protestant work ethic.
I think there's a lot to be said. I think work is joy. I mean,
well,
I
that's right, joy. Yeah, yeah. Certainly, they have, not uh-huh. being slaves, we're talking about work and
mm-hmm.
I mean, pride in your work.
That's right,
and that's right. Yeah.
Yes,
so that's all mixed up. That's a whole...
Yeah.
And I get, well, it's not just Alaska, but I think so many of the people who come here now are here because they're losers in a different sense.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of the stress of the times, but not because they're just losers. They can't...
I think it's going to be easier.
Well, actually, many of them have a criminal type of mind. They want what they want, and that's a criminal type of mind. I think. And I feel sad that, I feel sad for the state because I think that we have a transient population, and I think the transiency is maybe decreased to some extent because people can, a number of people can get good salaries and buy a house in which they intend to stay, but most of them in the end don't stay, they leave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how you can have a healthy state,
mm-hmm.
whatever a healthy state is.
Mm-hmm. Without a very core mm-hmm. group mm-hmm. of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you're from India, yeah. No, I agree. Well,
so it's like anything else, there are some good days when you see many, you take off the blinders and see the good things, and some days that you only see the sad aspects.
Mm-hmm. Still, in all, I guess that there's a part of here that you never can never think of leaving. You think there's something that gets attached here. That mm-hmm. I don't know whether it's the part of our person that relates to other people that we've known or been here now.
Well, on the other hand, I think Fairbanks particularly, and other smaller communities in the mm-hmm. state, have a very high percentage of talented people.
Mm-hmm.
And talented in many areas, but also with healthy personalities, it helps them fulfill their talent and mm-hmm. give us, the communities, the benefit of it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I was outside, I went up to Watertown. You know Watertown, our competitor for the Light Brigade?
Oh,
well, Fort Drum is uh-huh. a few miles from Watertown.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful country, I think.
Where is that? New York? I think
yeah,
New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful country.
Near the Canadian border.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to be down there.
And I had a short cruise on the St. Lawrence River, and that must be one of the most beautiful rivers in the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's one of them.
Mm-hmm. When I came back and mm-hmm. went up to Circle and saw the Yukon, I expected the thrill of the mighty Yukon to just look like a muddy stream to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's in maybe if I were the other side, on the Fort Yukon side, I might have felt it. So I was wondering why I was back.
Mm-hmm.
But
but you
know, I've had a rich life here, and I think many people who've been here for a long time do feel that way.
But you don't you feel that was part of you, of how you made your rich life? I mean, you as a person, not everybody would have had a rich life here. Some people would have sounded very difficult.
Well, they probably wouldn't have stayed long, would you? Mm-hmm. If you get involved with the people and the communities and the, you know, I've seen a great change in the possibilities for the native population, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm.
I came here when they were signed in Anchorage. We didn't have them here, but in Anchorage, no Filipino, a native trade, or they say Indian trade, solicited. So we've come a long way from that one. But I concern too whether the affluence, health conditions, certainly the eye, ear, nose, and throat conditions, tuberculosis are not the problems anymore.
No,
health is. The health of the mind is the problem.
That's right. Society.
I mean, that's in America. They're no different from the Americans, except they're getting the full thrust of it,
mm-hmm.
a higher percentage of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty sad.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been to many conferences and seminars and transcultural institutes. We don't know any quick answer to that.
Well, I don't think anybody does for society as a whole. I can think, you know, I think it's part of the whole thing, as you say, about the work ethic and all sorts of other things. It's all interrelated. Mm. It's not a simple mm. problem. I don't think there are any simple answers. Did it seem to have simple answers in times gone by, or was it just life was so
busy? Oh, there were a lot of wonderful aphorisms, which were true. They were the true aphorisms. They're as old as you know. You know all of them. Idle hands, the workshop of the devil. Need not, want not, or something, you know.
Oh, yeah, okay, all
the
things. So you stayed into public health and you retired here as a public health major.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I assume that's a friend. Anyway, I guess the only other things I'd like to sort of have an idea about or think about is, I guess I'm much more I'm very interested in philosophically. What you think about life and yourself and your life, and what
were
some real highlights?
Oh, well, I can't get into all that. You know, I would get into the bad spots of the highlights.
Okay.
I don't even, you know.
Is it all one?
No, it's not all one. Mm-hmm. Like when you say, when you were going to New Mexico, I could get excited. That was a highlight in my life, because I'd been there with my brother and saw that land, and that was a spiritual experience. That's a highlight for the moment, so I could vicariously endure your experience.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else you think you'd like to say? Because I don't want to push you.
No, this is no thank you, because it's 2:00. Mm-hmm. And let's see, outside, I felt bad about
Come in. This is my friend Mary.